Hello, everyone. Hi again. This is Knock on Wood. I'm Steve Charney. You're listening to my theme song. That's Tiller Girls. That's from the movie Cabaret. I like to mention that every once in a while. Yeah, so if you ever rent that movie Cabaret with Liza Minnelli, Michael York, they do a wonderful job. That's a great movie. That's in there. Joel Grey, too. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Let's just get into it, shall we?
Yeah.
Kind of like entering a nice warm bath after all these shows. Harry's going to be in very soon, and we'll be featuring some funny people. Tom Glaser is doing the Barber's Anthem. Shel Silverstein doing that great classic, I'm Being Eaten by a Boa Constrictor, Short But Sweet. We have Tom Chapin, and we're going to start off with this guy called Norman Foote. And appropriately, he has named his CD, If the Shoe Fits. Well, when your name is Foote, I guess you play around with that name a little bit. He's got an E at the end of it, though, F-O-O-T-E. Norman Foote put out on Music Box, which is part of Disney. Here we go, Zachary Zach.
Zachary Zach was always in the back. To him, it's the worst it could be. He liked to be first, but with his name, he's cursed. Zachary Zach with a Z. He's last in the phone book, last in the yearbook. Waiting for the school nurse, he stood there and shook. Last on the roll call, last fit for volleyball, last for milk when they land up in the hall. Could have been a brewmaker, maybe a shoemaker. With a name like that, he'd be sooner than later. How about an alouette? But how could he forget? Zachary Zach was last in the alphabet. Zachary Zach was always in the back. And it's the worst it could be. He liked to be first, but with his name he's cursed. Zachary Zach with a Z. How about in the middle, like his friend Kevin Little? Oh no, Zach played the 26th fiddle. No one's to blame, but it's such a shame. Zachary was planning on changing his name. Call it a Z, call it a Z. With a name like Zach, it seems hard to get ahead.
Play that saxophone.
One day Zach grinned, said he found a new friend. He is no longer stuck at the end. Move next door, Zach's last no more. Cause his pal's named Zorbazudor. Zachary Zach was always in the back. To him it's the worst it could be. He liked to be first, but with his name he's cursed. Zachary Zach with a Z. Zachary Zach was always in the back. To him it's the worst it could be. He liked to be first, but with his name he's cursed. Zachary Zach with a Z.
That's the guy's name, Norman Foote. I guess he's got a funny name, so he decided to sing a song about another guy with a funny name. So, how you doing, man?
Yes, Steve, that was quite a dream we had last night, huh?
What? What do you mean, we?
Oh, stop acting so naive, Steve. You know what I mean. We're the same person, so we have the same dreams.
Right, Harry, but let's not forget the fact that you're a figment of my imagination, so it really is my dreams we're talking about. You're just a spectator. You're my dummy. I'm a ventriloquist.
Hey, listen, if you want to play macho, you go right ahead. It makes you feel more secure to be the kingfish in the relationship. Well, I'm not going to stop you.
Thank you.
But that was a doozy of a dream we had.
Wait a second. Which one are we talking about here?
Oh, come on, Steve. You know the one where the world is about to collide with another planet and all the Earthlings are about to leave pronto.
Oh, yeah, I do remember something about that now. It's funny how sometimes you don't remember your dreams and then, you know, someone will say something that'll remind you of it.
Yeah, like what the dream was.
Right.
Remember that big scene at Cape Canaveral, Steve? There were hundreds of thousands of people trying to get into the rocket ship.
Oh, yeah, that was wild.
What amazes me is how you get all those extras in your dreams. I mean, the production on that is so complex.
What do you mean extras? That crowd scene was all my imagination. I mean, everyone in my dream is just aspects of myself.
Oh, come on, Steve. You haven't fallen for that old Freudian jazz, have you? Those extras are paid actors.
What are you talking about? I don't pay people to be in my dreams.
You don't?
No, of course not.
Hey, don't let the Dream Actors Guild hear about that. You could be in serious trouble, buddy!
I don't know what you mean.
If the Dream Actors Union finds out that you haven't been paying the characters in your dreams, they might just start picketing you.
Oh, get out of here.
I'm serious, Dave. You'll suddenly find yourself alone at night. On the edges of your consciousness. You'll have a sense of figures walking up and down, but with picket signs.
You know you're making this up.
No, I'm not. My friend Richie didn't pay his actors, and he ended up having the same dream that he was on a desert isle all by himself for about a year. I'll tell you, 8 hours a night by yourself can get pretty lonely.
Well, I haven't been paying anyone.
And you wonder why you've been having so many nightmares lately. The characters in your dreams are fed up. They're giving you a hard time.
I know you're making this up.
Look, Steve, you're the producer of your own dreams, right?
Yeah, well, okay, I guess you could call me that.
So you're responsible for making these people happy. I mean, you have salaries, contracts, medical benefits.
What do you mean, medical benefits?
All right, look. There's an actor in your dream. He's playing a composite of about 5 different people you've known. You know how difficult a role that is? He has to act like 5 different people simultaneously. Think of the makeup. And maybe one of them is just someone you met for 5 minutes 10 years ago. Now you got him hanging off a cliff. What if he falls? He wants to know what if he breaks his leg, he's not going to have to worry about the hospital bills. Or what if he dies? It happens. People die in dreams all the time. Do you have life insurance for his wife and kids?
I don't believe I'm hearing this. These are dreams we're talking about.
You can't make the powers that be irritable, Steve. Have you discussed hours with them?
What do you mean hours? I sleep as much as I sleep, 8 hours a day. Sometimes less, sometimes more.
Oh, boy. There are labor laws, you know! If you want to sleep more than 8 hours a day, fine. Just make sure they're getting overtime. Then you have the set builders.
What do you mean, the set builders?
Well, take the dream you had last night, right? Someone had to build the Cape Canaveral set. Then there was the rocket. Remember, you flew over everyone's head so you could get into the spaceship ahead of everyone else? There were pulleys and levers involved. Who do you think is doing that stuff? You have to have key grips, lighting, audio, props. It goes on and on.
I don't know what to do, Harry.
Look, I'll tell you what. Dr. Fenstermacher, who happens to be another character that you have created, has been moonlighting recently as an agent for some of these actors and actresses. Why don't I give him a buzz? He can come over and talk to you about this stuff.
Yeah, I guess so.
Great. Play something, we'll call him up. Won't take him long to get here, Steve. If you want to have pleasant dreams, you're going to have to get on the ball.
Well, the trail boss said, howdy there, and boosted me up on the old gray mare. She was old as the hills and in much worse shape. Her back was as hard as a fire escape. When I said, giddy up, she would stand and gape and refuse to leave the barn. Hi-ho, homesick, let's go.
Come on, giddy up.
Never knew a horse could go so slow.
Come on.
Yodelay, 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 yodelay. Hi-ho, homesick, let's go. As the barn faded to the rear, homesick shifted into gear. Well, she creaked and groaned like a rusty door as we cantered across Route 404. But she certainly moved it a whole lot more when she couldn't see the barn. Hi-ho, homesick, let's go. Homesick season 2. Well, her head went down, her eyes went wide. We were off on a roller coaster ride like an avalanche down a
mountainside, headed for the barn. I ho, homesick, whoa! I say stop, but you just go, go, go.
Does that good, doesn't he? That's Tom Chapin, and the name of the CD is Moonboat. Wonderful, wonderful CD. Love Tom Chapin. He's great. He's actually been a guest on the show a few times, and he's a wonderful singer-songwriter. He produces all of his CDs with John Forster, who's very good. I met John, too. Very nice fellow. That's one of the perks of doing the show, you know, to meet people that you highly respect, great artists. They give you little concerts, you know, personal little concert when they're on the show. Sit there and listen to them play music. It's fun. Well, it's Knock on Wood, and this is Steve Charney. This is what's been happening. Turns out that according to Harry, the characters in my dreams at night want to get paid. He says that all that Freudian malarkey about people in your dreams just being different aspects of yourself is hogwash. They're separate from me and need to be compensated for the work they do. And the reason why I've been having a lot of nightmares lately is because I'm making them upset by not giving them a decent salary and benefits.
Exactly, Steve. There's an actress who's played your mother for the last 10 years who needs some back pay here. You think it's easy playing your mother night after night, year after year? She's pretty burned out, I don't have to tell you.
I believe it. So you said Dr. Funstermacher, who's been representing some of these actors in my dreams, were going to come by and talk to me. Well, where is he?
He'll be here in a second, Steve. Hold on. Oh, here he is now. Hi, Doc.
Well, hi, boys. How you doing?
Hi, Doctor.
So Harry gave me a ring, and, well, here I am.
Yeah, I thought you could talk to Steve about some of your clients.
Sure. It'll be my pleasure. Steve, as you now know, I've been developing this business on the side, you know, working as an agent for the characters in your dreams.
Right. Just my dreams.
That's right. You see, I'm a figment of your personality, so I can't really work with anyone else except you.
I see.
Now, I have some clients who I think are going to knock your socks off. Look at this photo.
This is Uma Thurman.
Well, it's not herself, but an actress who specializes in looking and acting just like her. She can show up tonight and be in one of your dreams, let's say, between 2 and 3 this morning. You won't know the difference.
Gee, that's great.
Oh, let's see the picture, Steve.
Wow! And the best part is, she works cheap.
Uma Thurman probably makes $2 million a picture, at least maybe $8 million.
True. But this one sometimes gets a little too rambunctious and, well, halfway through your dream, she'll kind of metamorphosize into a two-headed monster and chase you for a while.
Look, don't you have Meryl Streep available?
Sorry, someone already booked her for tonight.
What do you mean somebody already booked her? These are my dreams we're talking about. Who could have booked her? I thought you said that you only work for me.
Well, it was me, Steve.
What are you going to do with Meryl Streep?
Dinner and a movie?
I've always wanted to sing Tom Hanks. Could you arrange that?
Yes, I think that's doable. And look here, for a special fee, I could have you flown to his mansion via flying carpet.
Ooh, cool. Could I see my grandmother in that dream, too? You know, she died about, well, 25 years ago at least. Sometimes she shows up in my dreams. I still miss her.
Well, actually, I have nothing to do with the deceased. They show up in dreams on their own.
You mean they're not actors playing the part, but the real McCoy?
That's right. They're the actual spirits. I'll have to put in a call to her and see if she's not visiting any of her other grandchildren tonight. If she's not, I'm sure she'll be happy to come by and be in the audience while you're singing.
Great.
Now, when you're singing with them, do you want to be in Madison Square Garden? You want to keep it cozy and, you know, kind of semi-private?
I'm not really sure.
If you go for Madison Square Garden, we can use a lot of the extras that were in the Cape Canaveral scene last night. Probably a lot of them are still hanging around.
Will take a lot of effort to build a set?
Sure.
Okay, let's just keep it at Tom Hanks' mansion, okay? In fact, I'll tell you what. Since it's my dream, why don't you make it my mansion?
Fine.
Gee, Steve, am I invited?
Well, I guess. But it won't be you anyhow. It'll be an actor playing you. That's going to be quite a makeup job, man.
Oh, come on, Steve. Of course it'll really be me. Since I'm already just a figment of your imagination, this me showing up in one of your dreams is not that difficult.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, sure, come. Just don't try to get up on stage and sing with us. I'm hoping for a big record contract, and I don't want you blowing it.
Okay. Why don't I guys go start making the arrangements now?
Thanks. And when you talk to my grandmother, send her my love, okay?
Yes, if you're lucky, you can give it to her yourself tonight.
Yeah, I met your grandma in other dreams you've had, Steve. She's cool.
Well, every so often I find myself sitting in the barber chair. I'm getting a new cut and it might be a crew cut sitting in the barber chair. Fare thee well, fare thee well, fare thee well, my darling hair. I want a good shampoo with some icky sticky goo while sitting in the barber chair.
My daddy doesn't need a haircut at all
while sitting in the barber chair. Some inky sticky goo while sitting in the barber chair. Oh, there was a girl who was creepy and weird sitting in the barber chair. She asked for a shave, but she had no beard while sitting in the barber chair.
Fare thee well,
fare thee well,
fare thee well,
fare thee well, my darling hair. I want a good shampoo with some inky sticky goo while sitting in the barber chair. If your beard is a very fast grower while sitting in the barber chair, don't use any clippers, use a power lawn mower. Dynamite isn't fair.
Fare thee well,
fare thee well,
fare thee well,
fare thee well, my darling hair. I want a good shampoo with some icky sticky goo while sitting in the barber chair.
Well, now I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor, a boa constrictor, a boa constrictor. I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor, and I don't like it one bit. Well, what do you know? It's nibbling my toe. Oh, gee, it's up to my knee. Oh, fiddle, it's up to my middle. Oh, heck, it's up to my neck. Oh, dread, it's...
Tiny Tim, with his big hit, Tiptoe Through the Tulips. I think that's a great song, and I love the way he does it. Very nice guy. I actually met him. Once opened for him. He was performing in the area, and they asked me to open. It was nice. Before that,
Shel Silverstein. Before that, Tom Glazer. It's Knock on Wood, and I'm Steverino Charney. If you're tuning in late, I'll tell you what's going on here. So, Dr. Fenstermacher has just left. He's now an agent for the characters in my dreams, you know. Can't wait to go to sleep tonight, though. Just think, Harry, I'm going to be singing with Tom Hanks, flying on a magic carpet, and my grandmother might even show up.
Yeah, that'll be nice, Steve. And I'm glad you finally worked things out about paying the other characters to show up in your dreams. You can't expect them to be working for you night after night, Stephen, and not get compensated for it.
Well, I just thought they were creations I made up in my head. They were just different aspects of myself.
Well, you're wrong. That's what you get for listening to those nutty psychiatrists. The Dream Actors Guild would really take you to task, Steve, if they found out that you weren't paying the set designers, the lighting technicians, the boom operators, and the 1,001 other people who make your dreams possible. Now, Dr. Fenstermacher was kind enough to leave us this week's dream guide to look over.
I didn't know he left us anything. What is that?
Well, look at this, Steve. It's like TV Guide, but this tells us what dreams you're going to be having this week.
Let's see some of them.
Okay. See, starting next Monday, between 1 and 2, it says, Steve finds himself back in high school during finals week. Watch the fun as Steve desperately tries to remember basic algebra. Then paranoia and fear abound when he tries to find his homeroom in an endless maze of halls and classrooms. Relief finally rushes in when Steve wakes up in a cold sweat.
Great. I think I'll miss that one.
Good luck, Steve. Oh, look. Here, 4 o'clock on Tuesday. It's a horror movie. Ooh, this is exciting. Steve comes down with the flu, and fever dreams abound. The one indescribable nightmare that our hero has had since childhood comes back to haunt him. Large faces, slimy textures, and abstract scenes combine to make this dream one of the worst nightmares of Steve's life.
Aren't there any nice dreams listening to that guide?
Let's see, skimming down here. Oh, here, on Wednesday. You get over the flu. I guess it was one of those 24-hour viruses, Steve. And starting at 5 in the morning, Steve is speeding down the highway in New Mexico in a fancy convertible. The warm breeze is in his face. Suddenly finds himself in a strange hotel with 3 or 4 people. One of them reminds him of his second-grade teacher who he liked very much. They're eating. All is right with the world. Someone tells a joke that Steve finds very funny. Realizing that he's dreaming, he decides that he'll remember the joke to tell on his program after he wakes up. Later on, when he wakes, he realizes the joke sounds something like, doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, it doesn't sound too bad.
Oh, look, Steve, you like this one. You like this one. Somewhere around 6 o'clock on Friday morning, Steve is walking down a busy street in New York City when he spots his grandmother. The one who he loved dearly as a child, but who died when he was in his late teens. He asks her what she's doing here. She's supposed to be dead. She replies that she had a little while to share with him. He hugs her and hugs her. Then, when they go shopping, they have a wonderful time. At the end of the dream, she tells him she has to leave now. When Steve cries out to her not to leave, she smiles and says that she must go, but she'll come back and visit again soon. His grandmother walks off and disappears into the rush hour of New York. Steve wakes up.
Aw. That's sweet.
I woke up this morning with a smile on my face. I got dressed, made my bed, then I picked up the place. I did what you told me. I didn't whine or cry. Took a nap, never saw time out. All I can ask is why. Why am I being punished?
Have I been so bad?
I sat down to dinner and this is what I had. Boiled okra and spinach. It's dangerous. Fishy fish with 1,000 bones. Cooked in asparagus. I'd rather eat boogers. Trade it all for a hamburger or a pizza with double cheese.
No anchovies.
No pepperonis and no mushrooms.
No black olives or any other rabbit food.
I've got an idea that's bound to work. You finish the spinach and the black-eyed peas, then I'll go get dessert.
I'd scream with joy for a little piece of cake.
Vegetables are very good for you. Eat your fish, eat your okra too. Clean your plate, it's easy, it's just a piece of cake.
Ice cream,
vegetables are very good for you. Eat your fish, eat your okra too.
Ice cream,
clean your plate, it's easy, it's just a piece of cake.
Ice cream,
vegetables are very good for you. Eat your fish, eat your okra too.
Ice cream,
clean your plate, it's easy, it's just a piece of cake.
Spinach.
It's dangerous. Fishy fish with a thousand bones cooked in asparagus. I'd rather eat boogers than black-eyed peas. I'd trade it off for a hamburger or a pizza with double cheese. I'd trade it off for a hamburger or a pizza with cheese.
Trout Fishing in America. What's the name of that group? Great name for a group, isn't it? There are two of them. It's called Mine. Great song in there called Mine. Everything's mine. Okay. Well, I can't wait to get into bed, Har.
Yeah, Steve, you got some heavy dreams coming up. Just make sure you pay your actors, your lighting technicians, people who create the sets.
Yeah, I understand. Are they in the union?
Yes, they're in the Dream Actors Guild.
Okay,
so, what other theme song?
Okay. What are you getting all riled up about?
Well, I can't wait till you go to sleep, Steve, because when you go to sleep, well, then I get to enjoy your dreams.
Well, I guess that's true, Harris, since we're the same person.
That's right, Steve.
Knock on Wood is produced at the Knock on Wood Studios in Woodstock, New York. The show's written and produced by me, Steve Charney. And I always like to mention at this time, if you're at all interested in having us perform at any event that you're having, and we're talking about parties or theaters or schools, we promote literacy in the school, maybe you're, any event, give us a call at 845-246-7898. You can also email me, steve@stevecharney.com. You can check out my website, stevecharney.com, see what we look like, see what products we have for sale. Or maybe you just want to email and comment on the show. We're happy to hear from you. Okay. Bye-bye, everyone. Sweet dreams.